to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Howell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're going to talk about our 2021 celebrity predictions. And we're also doing Cringe Mode New Year's Eve.
Great stuff. We always nail our predictions 100%.
Yeah. So. 100% of the time. Yeah. Guys, it's a new year. Follow us on Twitter. It's at teatime_33. And then Instagram, it's at teatimepod. Okay, before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear are so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
All right. So the way this is working this episode is we're just going to do two enormous categories, but they'll be super fun. The first one is Tea Time's 2021 celebrity predictions. We did this last year. Granted, the world changed in many ways. We had, you know, we could not foresee. So we will do our best. We're going to start with relationship/baby watch. So do you guys have any thoughts on maybe what's coming up in the new year?
I think I want to start with our girl, Taylor Swift, because I was, you know, looking into like the celebrity repertoire, I was like, who is most likely to get married and or have a child unto this world in 2021? And I have said this on podcasts with Nora as we've covered Taylor Swift. We just think she is married. I think that girl is as cuffed as cuffed can be. And all of her friends are having babies. She is committed. She is secure in her career and her personal life. And I just think she's ready to be a mother. So I think she's going to have a baby in 2021. I think that's going to be like the next step for her life. And wow. I'm ready to put it on the record. So that's what this is.
I agree. She lives a very shadowy life. And I feel like she could very easily go through 9 months of pregnancy kind of under wraps, just continue to travel totally. Via suitcase and then and then pop out a baby. I think this is very, very, very possible.
I also think, not to get too like introspective, but I think she's at a point in her career where she personally, like with her fame and her public image, is ready to like bring a baby into that space, you know, like I think before she just like didn't feel great about like people talking about her in her personal life and like feeling like she was like in this lens. And I feel like she's made her peace. She's figured out how to make it work. And I just think mentally she's ready. So
yeah, I agree. This is a good one. Mine is much lower brow, my next prediction, but I do think Khloe Kardashian is going to have baby number two with Tristan Thompson. It feels like they've been back together for a while. He's very clearly won her back over, and they have seemingly healed from his cheating scandal. And I also think that she wants siblings for true. I think that family will grow, like, you know, all else be damned. So I think that this is also possible in the New
Year's. It's been a while since the last Kardashian baby, right?
Yeah. I mean, Stormy's almost three.
They were
guys.
Popping them out for a while there. And now they've really, there's been kind of a dry spell. So it's time.
Yeah. Agreed. Wow. And then My next one is Hailey Bieber, because she and Justin Bieber seem to be like very happily married. Also, Gigi Hadid just had her baby, and like Hailey Bieber's been commenting up a storm. Also, she's close with Kylie, who's already had a baby. I think she just like sees a path ahead where you can still be famous and a successful model, you know, that which is what she is. And then also have a child. So those are my two predictions for babies.
That whole class of celebrity are getting pregnant right now. Like the all those like young, like model nepotism influencer, you know, like I just feel like they're all in that stage at the same time. And it's like the thing to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah. Definitely. All right, Amelia.
You know, I think Ariana Grande, you know, she recently got engaged. Happy for her. I don't think she'll be pregnant. I'm going against the grain, and I'm going to say that she is just like, you know what? I'm happy and I've got too much to lose. I've got too much on the line for a baby, because I feel like she is on top of the world right now. She also isn't as old as like, I mean, not that Taylor Swift is not old, but like she's like what, in her mid-20s, whereas Taylor is like 30. And I just think that Ariana Grande still has a few more albums to put out before she puts out a baby, if you will.
I feel like, you know, her last album or her content is still very like sexy and kind of like pop, and Taylor Swift's a lot more like introspective and here's what I've learned. And like, it feels like Ariana Grande still has to come out with a couple more like kind of, yeah, like romance, kind of sexy albums before she does, before she has a baby.
Totally. So I think that, but I mean, who knows? Maybe. I don't know. And then I also think we are, every day, we inch closer to a Zooey Deschanel property brother engagement, which is just horrifying for me personally and for many other people who, you know, just like, you know, I like Zooey Deschanel. I mean, I haven't really watched her in anything in a long time, but, you know, she seems like a pleasant person. New Girl was fun. I didn't watch all the episodes, but from the ones that I watched, she's very charming.
Yeah, I do find her quite charming on screen. I think she's a good actress.
Yeah, and I'm just worried that she is now going to be tied down with freaking one of the, I don't remember which, honestly, who cares? It's one of them. And I just, I, because you know, he, once he has his claws in you, he's not letting go.
True.
And it's scary.
I absolutely agree. They're committed.
So obviously she's a very successful, talented like actress, but do you think if she would be sucked in, you would watch her on like an HGTV, like flip or flop kind of property brother-esque show?
I think
I would. I don't know.
I mean, I don't blame you. She is very charming. Yeah. I don't know. I guess. Sure.
Also, genuinely seems like a logical next step for her.
Do you think? I don't know. I would want to see them interact, because the whole thing is like, what do they see in one? Or obviously, we know what he sees in her, but like, what does she see in him? So I would like to actually watch that on screen.
Property spouses.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Coming soon, I like that, to HGTV near you.
It would work, because the other one is married, and I think she is like, she's somehow related to their show. So
there you go.
Okay. HGTV.
Who do you guys think will be next year's internet / tabloid darlings? So in your guys' opinion, who do you think really ruled 2020? I'm going to go with Jacob Elordi, Kaia Gerber, Margaret Qualley, maybe Ashley Benson. What about you guys?
Ana de Armas, for sure. Her moment.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, there's always like the person that the internet latches onto. I think Paul Mescal had his moment this year. Yeah, you never quite know like what celebrity is just going to like hit like their stride in like their press tour. I do have some predictions for next year and how this is going to go. It's really hard because every movie that has ever been made is coming out next year. All the movie buildup from this year, they've all been pushed to next year. So it's really hard to tell who like the internet is going to latch onto. I made a few predictions. First of all, Timothée Chalamet has both Dune and Wes Anderson's The French Dispatch coming out.
Wow.
Both movies that were supposed to come out this year are now coming out next year. And I think the internet is going to get Timothée fatigue. I think that, you know, he was just on SNL. People were like, okay, he's funny, whatever. I just think he's like a little bit too silly still and like a little bit too goofy to really like make the most of his like A-list press tour moments. And I feel like it's going to be a Jennifer Lawrence thing where like he tries a little bit too hard to be relatable and quirky.
Oh,
and people are going to be like, actually, I'm tired of your face. Wow. And I just worry. I worry for him. I think that we're approaching Timmy fatigue and backlash.
I worry for him too, because Dumois posts him 17,000 times a day, and I am a little tired of it. I
and
can't
he's
lie.
Like, he's like not quite good enough at it. Like, he's dating too many women. He's like doing too many silly things. He tweets too much. Like, he's on it. You know what I mean? And he's like always vaping. And it's like, you're just not. You're not ready for like the amount of spotlight that's going to be on you, it seems like.
Yeah. It's just like win that Oscar first, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I just think people are like going to be, it's like, you know, the Lin-Manuel Miranda fatigue came for him. It comes for all of us in the end.
Came for him big time. Yeah, it's true.
It's just inevitable, methinks. So that's my first prediction. I think the internet will get tired of him. I also think of all the movies that are coming out next year, I was looking at all these casts, trying to figure out like what the internet will grab onto. And I think Marvel's Eternals, which has been coming out for years and years, they announced it forever ago. I think it's going to be a big deal in terms of kind of like the newcomers to the Marvel universe who are already A-list actors. So I think Richard Madden and Kumail Nanjiani are just posed for internet boyfriend-dom. You know, Richard's got the gray streak that everyone was freaking out about a couple years ago. Kumail has been like on his steroids for like 2 years now because it was supposed to come out before and it's still not out. He just posted a picture. You know, like he posted the picture where he was like super jacked and everyone freaked out.
Right. Yes.
Well, now that movie never came out, so he's still jacked. Like a year later, this poor man is still just eating like chicken breasts. Oh. So I feel like he's really going to try and make the most of that once his like opportunity finally comes. He's very funny.
That's a great call, actually, because I thought that I don't track those movies that closely. So I just assumed it had come out, done its wave and then passed. But the poor guy has probably been killing himself still for now way too long.
Like has not eaten pizza in like 4 years. Oh, yeah. So that's tough.
And I'm worried for him, though.
Aren't
you worried? I feel like it's going to be Chris Pratt levels of backlash.
You know, people talk about him. I'm not quite sure if there will be backlash coming for him, but we'll see. And then I also, my big takeaway from Eternals is that I really want Angelina Jolie to re-enter the public eye. I want her to make like her Nicole Kidman diva comeback where suddenly she's everywhere. She's on Instagram. She's like, her Botox is immaculate. Her hair is blown out. Like just being fabulous. Like everyone will be nostalgic being like, oh my God, where did you go, queen? Come back. She'll like stick out a leg again on a red carpet.
Oh my God.
That'll be it. And I'm just ready for her to come back into our lives.
That's a good point. I'm actually very ready to hear about like her professional news. I feel like I've only heard about her personal life for a very, very long time. And I would like to have some, you know, written pieces about her actual work.
Yeah.
Okay. My prediction was, this is more for like internet tabloid darling, is Aza Gonzalez, who I feel made small wave 2020 because she was photographed hooking up with Timothy Chalamet in Mexico. But she actually has been in the entertainment industry for a very long time, basically since she was a teenager. And she's like a multi-platinum recording artist. She's like enormous in Mexico. So feels like it's just the wave to bring to the United States that will come in 2021. She's drop dead gorgeous. She's going to be in the new Godzilla movie in the next year. And I just feel like she's poised for it. And she's, it just feels like she could be the next like heartthrob for everybody.
Totally agree.
Yeah, agreed. Okay.
And then lastly is our girl Sydney Sweeney, who's in a lot of projects coming
up. This is a great pick. This is a really good pick.
Yeah, she, like, I think people, I held on to her from The Handmaid's Tale and then Euphoria, obviously, but people are obsessed, obviously, for a good reason. And I feel like she'll just be photographed everywhere she goes next year.
Yeah, her Instagram is already like thirst trap central, like everywhere. And not on her. I'm just saying like she's like Emily Ratajkowski and that like every boy you've ever met is like somehow on her page constantly.
Every
and you're like, why her?
You're like, oh, I guess you like this one too. Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Seriously? Oh,
for some
God.
Reason, she has just like entered that space where like men are just obsessed with her, which is like, you know,
for
it's fine.
Reason,
she's beautiful and talented. Yes. But yeah, she definitely is in like the heartthrob space already.
It's always so funny to see guys from work like commenting on them. I'm like, do you think that they're going to see this?
We can see you. She can,
anything,
but we can.
But we can. This is okay. Sure. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's do the next category. This is just miscellaneous 2021 celeb predictions. Kate, you want to go ahead first?
First of all, I think, you know, we got to talk about the world just returning to normal next year. Obviously, these are optimistic predictions, maybe for like the back half of the year once things return to normal. But, you know, once red carpets come back, hopefully they will next year. Again, try not to jinx this coming year. hopefully we will be back on red carpets. And I think the celebrity fashion trends are going to be like super ridiculous, over the top, like Lady Gaga, Tilda Swinton, Billy Porter, Met Gala shit, just everywhere. Because it's like, why would you just wear, you've been stuck in your house on Zoom interviews wearing a blazer and sweatpants for the past year. Yeah, I feel like celebrities are just going to be like, let's really make an impact now that we're back in like very strange, like ridiculous, over the top ways. So I just want no black dresses, no black suits, like just wow me. You know, yeah, it's been so long. And then I also think, this is more of a question, do you guys think that TikTok stars will successfully reach the A-list next year? Or will they kind of go the YouTubers route and kind of get stuck in their own category of fame? Because for a while, remember, like YouTubers were going to be the next huge thing too.
Yep.
And then, you know, they still are huge, but on YouTube. Like they're still not, you know, on, again, like red carpets or like actual household names. So you guys think TikTok star, we're kind of like in this period where TikTok stars could go either way.
Right.
And become Kardashians, or they could become, I don't know, can't even name a YouTuber to compare them to.
Trisha Paytas. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
It depends, because basically we're banking on basically Addison Rae or the D'Amelio family. And those are, I believe, if anyone were to do it, it's going to be those two groups of people. Addison Rae is trying with the movie and obviously with her friendship with the Kardashians. And then the D'Amelios are also trying going to Hulu. So, Amelia, what's your temperature on this? Like, do you think that they can break the barrier?
I mean, I think there is a chance, but they faced so much backlash after that chef video came out. And people, there's already been an underlying, like, sense of animosity towards them. Like, I mean, I'm not, I don't mean to get political, but, like, the dad is, like, a Republican politician, and people have called that out before. Just the fact that, you know, Charlie and her sister Dixie, like what are these names, got famous from like essentially copying like a lot of dance moves that like black women have done on TikTok first is kind of like also another like just very I don't want to say like despair, because it's not necessarily their fault that they blew up, but it does kind of muddy the waters of their fame, and something that I think is a valid thing to bring up. So I don't know. I think they have a lot working against them. I also think, you know, just on a personal level, they're not very likable. I don't think they're likable. And that one girl needs to, you need to switch up your middle part, honey. It's not doing anything for you. And I'm saying this as a friend. I just think you would look a lot cuter with like a little swoopiness going on. But I mean, that is neither here nor there.
See, to me, these are all things that people said about the Kardashians. Oh, they got popular from a sex tape, or oh, they, you know what I mean? Which like, I feel like their controversy has made them all the more famous.
That's
which
true.
Then makes me wonder if the D'Amelios will go that route instead of sort of fading away into obscurity.
I think if they put together like a makeup line, yeah, maybe.
That's inevitable.
Yeah, Addison Rae has already done that. It feels like they're on their way. I'm just hoping that they stay within the TikTok, like internet fame, as opposed to like on red carpets. But it depends on how much manpower the Kardashians put behind Addison Rae, basically, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, next thing. Amelia?
Well, this is still going to be kind of depressing. But speaking of the Property Brothers, one of them, I think Drew, I think the one who isn't dating Zooey Deschanel, released a Christmas song. Thank you to, I don't know how to pronounce this person's Instagram name, but at CKA Wez for sharing. You shared this to Tea Time. And I had to listen to it, and it, you know, it wasn't horrible. But
that's good.
Yeah. But it was also like, why are you doing, like, just, you know, it's like, why are you doing this? Why of you, of all people, have decided to release this Christmas song? Out of all the things you could be doing, you know, and not only that, they have this celebrity IOU show, and now they are Hollywood adjacent. And it's just, what is, I don't know if they're angling their way to become like Ryan Seacrest. I don't know what's going on, but something is up. Anyone? Anyone? No.
They can try to be Ryan Seacrest. I feel like Ryan Seacrest still has the power over all of Hollywood, but more power to them to try. I mean, they could certainly try. Kate, what are your thoughts?
You got to diversify your income, you know? So
that's
just
true.
Like try,
so true.
Try what works, you know? Never know when the housing market's going to crash. So
wow, that's
dark. Gotta keep the routes of income, you know,
flowing.
Fresh.
True. Yeah, that's so true. Okay, so yeah, stream Drew's song on Spotify or not. You don't have to do that. And then also, I just feel like I saw some photos of Catherine McPhee pregnant, and you know, she was showing her belly, and I was like, this woman is trying to worm her way back into the good graces of the public, and I think she's going to do it with maybe the help of Harry and Meghan. But let me tell you, my goal in 2021 is to ensure this does not happen. So as you all, as my witness, I promise you, I will do whatever it takes to make sure we do not forget that she's trash.
Damn. Yeah. Darn.
Ambitious. Ambitious.
Thank you.
Someone I think asked you have a fair shot at this only because David Foster is not in the public eye enough to make any positive waves. And Catherine McPhee also isn't. I mean, the most they can do is just continue to hire paparazzi to cover them on their morning walks. But that's about it. I'm hopeful for you, Amelia.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah.
We support you.
Thank you.
Okay. Lastly, some 2021 unanswerable questions. There's a lot unknown about next year. Kate, what do you have?
Indeed. Obviously, 2020, we've talked about it a thousand. We really contributed to it on this podcast, was the Twilight Renaissance. Mm. And on TikTok, especially, and on social media, it was the New Girl Renaissance. So like, you know, instead of Friends or The Office, which were like the it shows, the it properties of past years, I think 2020 was really like the New Girl Twilight sort of nostalgia renaissance. Mm-hmm. So in 2021, what property will bored, nostalgic millennials seize onto to revisit and just be obsessed with next year?
I'm going to take a shot, even though it's like a very easy next answer. But The Hunger Games, I do feel as though has some room for Gen Z to grab onto and rediscover, because they were really young when that came out. I feel like that was kind of more our age range when those movies were first released. They probably don't really, like, I'm trying to think about this, and I feel like the whole like Big Brother government looking down and all young people fighting against the man and the power, something that they can relate to. But other than that, I have no idea.
I think Pretty Little Liars is ripe for being made fun of online.
Yes, actually.
In a similar way to Twilight, where like you revisit and you're like, what the fuck is she wearing? Or like, what the fuck was this plot line? Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, just zooming into like these very like specific stars that are no longer relevant. And these plot lines that didn't make sense. And like, is sort of just the meme fuel that Twilight provided us with. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think maybe like, you know, nostalgic bored millennials will like want to revisit that. I also think Gossip Girl is just like a clear choice in terms of the reboot coming.
You're so right.
But that one's like almost too easy of an answer. So I think those two things, you know, like weird fashion, specific stars.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true.
We'll see.
Wow, those are good ones. Off of the Gossip Girl thing, I will say that I would love to see like everyone get into the OC again.
Ooh,
like the first season of that show.
Never too late. It's never too late for that.
You know? So.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Do you guys think as many celebrities will get pregnant in 2021, or do you think the baby craze is kind of over? Obviously, we have a couple of celebs still pregnant, still need to give birth, but this was kind of an insane year, and I don't know that we'll ever see anything like this again. What do you guys think?
I don't think it'll be anything similar to this year.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know what? You convinced me. Yeah.
I mean, this year, what did we say? It was like 72 legitimate celebrities that had babies or pregnancy announcements.
That's insane. Yeah. That is insane.
Do you guys think we'll see any humongous weddings in 2021? Like, you know, hopefully they all do it safely post-vaccine and when everything goes back to normal. Because celebrities haven't been able to do this and really flex their like gigantic, lavish weddings that much. Do you think all the celebs who are engaged, like who have yet to get married? So that's like Katy Perry, Ariana Grande, Gwen Stefani, Liam Payne. Do you think these people
Liam
are getting like
big
blowout weddings?
Yes, I do. I think like once we officially are allowed to do that, I think they absolutely will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like some December weddings that are like really icy in more ways than one.
What are you talking about?
You know, like there's a lot of
the second icy way besides just temperature?
Temperature, but like icy as in like diamonds.
Ooh.
You know?
Okay.
And like icy colors, maybe? Some colors going on? I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe. What do you think?
I think, yes. I think Katy Perry is going to have a 7-day long wedding somewhere very far away and like ship 200 people and just rent out just some kind of island or some kind of like enormous estate to house everyone. It'll be like an entire week long thing. I think they are going to go like full out. That will be the biggest wedding.
You know what I could see her doing, because she's kind of culturally insensitive. I think I could see her trying to like co-op like the Great British Bake Off. You know?
Oh, interesting.
Being like, Orlando, you're British. And like get married in one of those tents. Yeah, I don't know.
That would actually be pretty classy for her, and like actually small scale. I'm thinking like ginormous, like there are pews and pews and pews of people. Okay. And then lastly, my last unanswerable question, which I feel like we all know the answer to this really, but are you guys emotionally ready to see travel photos of like these very luxurious trips from celebrities? Because I actually have not missed them in any way. Yeah. I'm curious if you guys have.
No, I'm not emotionally ready for that or spiritually or physically ready for that at all. Yeah. Maybe like once I have a trip under my belt again, like maybe late 2021, if we are able to travel again. But right now I'm just like extremely jealous of anyone who can do that. So, and like very judgy. So
totally, me too. And even now there's like a couple ski trips going on, a lot of Cabo trips, and I'm like, no, not yet.
I was just on the Daily Mail and I saw Sophia Richie in a thong on a jet ski in St. Bart's, and I was like, I don't like this. I know.
I'm not ready. The Kardashians went to Lake Tahoe recently, which granted they probably like flew on a private jet. But anyway, a lot of trips are already happening and I'm just not ready for more.
Too much travel. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear are so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
Okay, last category, cringe mode, New Year's Eve. It makes complete sense we're doing this, although I cannot believe we have not covered this movie yet. This is like ripe for cringe mode. So, Kate, do you want to, the most concise way possible, kind of take us through New Year's Eve, the movie?
God.
I will try. This is just a classic holiday ensemble film from the makers of Valentine's Day, which was a previous cringe mode. Contains a lot of the same cast members. So literally there are like way too many actors in this movie for me to go through. It's like everyone you would expect to be in this movie, and also Jon Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
It's just the lives of New Yorkers intersecting on New Year's Eve in 2011. So almost exactly 10 years. It's just like some of them know each other. Some of their storylines interconnect. Some of them are happy. Some of them are sad. There's a lot of like love and romance. Honestly, pretty fun movie. I enjoyed this one much more than Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was good.
I thought this one was pretty good.
All right, let's do some highlights on that positive note. Kate, what's a highlight for you?
The main highlight for me in this movie was one of the storylines that I found to be very funny, which is the two couples, Seth Meyers and Jessica Biel, and then Sarah Paulson and her like random actor husband that I didn't know. And basically, the story is that they are both extremely pregnant and they're competing to have the first baby of the new year because the couple that has the first baby wins $25,000, which is insane. That would not happen. However, they're obviously like trying everything they can to induce labor. They're like competing. The dads are competing. And I just thought it was a really funny, really good idea. And yeah, I found all the actors to be really entertaining in that part. And then my second highlight is that there's a blooper reel at the end of this movie. And we just love a blooper reel. Just a classic of the mid 2010 era. And yeah, just I love to see it every time.
Yeah, we've said it before. Bring it back, please. It's so enjoyable at the end of a movie. And then you had Hilary Swank kind of narrating the whole movie. And it was very Love Actually where it starts. And it's like kind of the love is all around us message at the very end. And it's like kind of gets you in your feels right before you leave. It's really nice talking about the new year and new beginnings and all that stuff. That was great. Which pair do you guys think, and I can read some off to jog your guys' memory. Which pair and storyline do you guys think had the best chemistry in this movie? We have... I'm going to start with a weird, but Abigail Breslin and Sarah Jessica Parker as like the mother-daughter duo and then kind of Josh Duhamel at the end. Then you have Ashton Kutcher and Lea Michele stuck in an elevator. You have John Bon Jovi, Katherine Heigl, and Sofia Vergara, two of which are caterers and running this cooking company to cater John Bon Jovi's big New Year's Eve ball thing. He's this big pop star. You have Jessica Biel, Seth Meyers, and then Sarah Paulson, kind of, the hospital baby competition. Hilary Swank and Hector Elizondo, who are working kind of like the ball drop back end stuff. And then you have Michelle Pfeiffer and Zac Efron. Who do you guys think? Those, I think, are like
you
the
forgot,
main storylines.
Robert De Niro and Halle Berry and Common.
Sure. That was a sad storyline. I guess I was focusing more on the joyous ones. But
ones.
Amelia, who do you think had the best chemistry in those groups?
I don't know what it was, but I kind of freaking love Zac Efron and Michelle Pfeiffer together.
Did you?
Yes.
My God, I hated that. I felt like there was weird sexual tension and I couldn't tell actually what was the actual feelings on either party.
I love that.
I couldn't tell if I was
get it.
Yeah. I wanted them to like end up together and then I was like, I can't tell if I'm just projecting this.
Yeah.
And I think I was. I don't think that was purposeful.
Yeah, they both brought some sexual chemistry I was not actually anticipating to that storyline because it's pretty, platonic. Yeah. I think Ashton Kutcher and Lea Michele did an okay job, you know.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Like two annoying people that you're like, well, at least they found each other.
Definitely. Yeah. I also kind of liked Katherine Heigl and Bon Jovi. Just me?
No, I like them. You know, John Bon Jovi needs to be in more movies. I'll just
he can
it.
Still get it. I was going to talk about that later, but he's absolutely still got it.
See, I was going to talk about that later too, but I was going to say he has a face that is like, it's not a movie face. You're like, oh, I know that face, but not from movies. So it kind of takes you out of every scene he's in where I'm like, this is like punked or something. You know, it feels like those worlds don't collide.
Yeah. And then Ashton Kutcher's there too. So you're like, what if this is punked?
Exactly. So I guess we're choosing Zac Efron and Michelle Pfeiffer, which I don't feel great about. But okay.
Yeah. I also love how everyone was like, I love in these movies where, you know, there's seemingly all these different storylines going on, but they're actually all interrelated with one another. Like we learn freaking Zac Efron is siblings with Sarah Jessica Parker. I kind of loved that, you know. You didn't
Liz
like that?
Like, or, Liz no. is like, no.
There are some stretches. There, I think any one of those, all these white people could have been related to another. Like anyone could have been Robert De Niro's child.
Right.
You know, you never knew who was actually going to be connected to who.
That's true. Yeah. So it was fun to see who ended up with who in the
Yes.
Yeah. That's true. I also to their, I guess the writing of this movie, they have some very inventive jobs. I feel like it's kind of hard to come up with like 12 different lifestyles in New York City and make them all quirky and unique and whatever. So we had Sarah Jessica Parker, who I believe was like costume designer for the Rockettes. And she was like backstage at one point, you know, shoved the dancer out into the stage. Hilary Swank appeared to be like it's the VP of the Times Square Alliance. So basically, she's just the woman in charge of the ball dropping.
Right.
Ashton Kutcher's a comic book illustrator, you know, cool, quirky, classic guy in a movie. Michelle Pfeiffer is the secretary to like a head of a record company. I don't know. At least they tried. They tried to make them all individual, interesting jobs, I feel like.
Totally.
And then last highlight, the end was very sweet and heartwarming. I'm such a sucker for these kinds of things. And the passing of time, and you have What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. And it was just like a really nice wrap up, I think. It was like actually a feel good movie, which I was not anticipating.
Agreed. Yeah.
It makes you hopeful.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, especially at a time like this. All right, let's do some lowlights because this is a kind of cringy movie in a lot of ways. Kate, what are your thoughts?
You know, there's always a storyline you just like don't need in these movies when there are so many storylines. And it's supposed to be like a cheery, feel-good movie. And Robert De Niro's character is dying of a terminal illness. Right. His dying wish is to go to the roof and see the Times Square ball drop, which is a really depressing dying wish, in my opinion. But, you know, sure. And they just kept cutting back to him dying and his doctor being like, I can't take you to the roof. Like, let's put him on meds and get him through the night. And I just was like, I don't want this. Please go back to Seth Meyers and Jessica Biel and trying to induce their baby because that's much more exciting.
Yeah. I think obviously it was just trying to set the tone and like have him grayed out because he is dying. But the room was so unnecessarily bleak. It was like there was a gray cast and it was very shadowy. And it was like, I don't believe that a hospital room would really look like that if he was dying.
No.
Hopefully someone would put maybe a bouquet of flowers or somewhere in there. But it was very dark and sad in his room.
I mean, yeah, it was this whole tonal shift to like, they were like, oh, we're getting ready for New Year's. And then it was like him being like, I'm dying. And I was like, oh my God.
It actually kind of was a hard pill to swallow. It was like whiplash because you'd go from Zach and like pedaling on his bike around the city trying to get knock off whatever Michelle Pfeiffer's wish list. And then it was like him and he's like decrepit and he's like, I need to get outside. It was so sad. Okay, Amelia, what's your low light?
I just, one thing, you know, I mean, I'm not expecting that these movies will win an Oscar or even a Golden Globe nomination, but I cannot believe that we're supposed to, like, even though the whole thing about Michelle Pfeiffer's character is that she doesn't get out that much, like, okay, and she's out of touch, but no one is naming their dog Mr. Snugglepuss. That's just lazy screenwriting, and I'm not okay with it.
Slapping Mr. onto a pet's name is just like, this person doesn't have human friends. You know, like, that's just like... Definitely lazy. Definitely. Like, Mr. anything is like, oh, this person is embarrassing. Feel sorry for them.
That's true.
Exactly. That's right. And also, the fact that it's Snugglepuss, like a puss, like a cat. No.
Yep.
You're a dog, okay?
Yeah.
Come on.
Another uncomfortable scene in that storyline. I just didn't like any of it.
That's true. That's true.
Okay, in your guys' opinion, what has aged the best and the worst?
Aged the best, we already said it, but Jon Bon Jovi. Admittedly, this movie was filmed 10 years ago, and I was like, Bon Jovi still looks great. And then I was like, well, maybe I should check his Instagram to make sure. He definitely has aged quite significantly in the past 10 years. He looks significantly older than he did in this movie. However, he can still get it. I really think Jon Bon Jovi still looks great. So props to him and his face.
Mm-hmm. He's handsome. Totally. I also was like, I don't know if I'm just like, I wasn't wearing any contacts or glasses when I was watching this movie. So maybe that was it. But I really thought Michelle Pfeiffer was like Emma Stone for a good like couple of minutes.
Wow.
Tough look
for Emma Stone because Michelle Pfeiffer was not styled well in this movie.
She was not, no.
But I just, they had the same kind of, well, actually, a little similar shade of brown hair.
Mm. They have similar kind of eyes. I can kind of see resemblance.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But she looked so young. I mean, it was just good for her. She looks great.
She does. She does. Also, Ryan Seacrest, 10 years later, is still hosting this ball drop. He's doing it again this year. It's going to be all different and like remote and all that stuff. But, you know, he's still very relevant. He's still the ball drop guy. So good for you, Ryan Seacrest.
That's true. How pissed do you think Chris Harrison was that he didn't get the call for Valentine's Day?
Wow.
you know?
Was he relevant in 2011 or whenever Valentine's Day was made?
I would say yes, because The Bachelor's been on since like 2002 or something.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Sorry, apologies to Chris
Valentine's Day. Chris Harrison is a shoe-in for some sure. kind of role. He has to,
right?
Valentine's Day too. Yeah, let's make it happen.
And what is age the worst to you guys?
We as a society, then and now, just need to do better by Sofia Vergara. Her character in this movie is the same as her character in every movie, which she's better than. It's like the, oh, she doesn't speak English. Oh, she's so like, you know, she's boobs and an accent. And
oh my God, yeah.
She is really funny. Like she has moments in this movie where I was like, Sofia Vergara is legitimately hilarious. But it like was despite her character, not because of it.
I completely agree. And it also made me realize how long Modern Family has also kind of been hinging on that, because this was such a long time ago, this movie. And now still they hinged that on her for way, way, way too long. And I think you're absolutely
too
right.
Long.
She's a great comedian. She has like a couple scenes of like physical kind of slapsticky comedy in this movie. And she's like really, really great. And I find that obviously 1,000 times more charming than when like there's like Katherine Heigl can't understand her accent. Like that is just,
I know. Yeah. I'm like, why are we still doing this? I just don't get it.
Yeah,
it is. I agree.
Dated for sure. I also thought, what is age the worst, was Lea Michele in a red bandage dress with rhinestones.
This is a great one, Amelia.
I was like, I hadn't looked up when this movie was done, but in my mind, when I saw this, I was like, okay, so we've got to be talking like early 2010s. Lo and behold, 2011.
The bandage dress had such a moment. That was like the pinnacle of fashion at the high school dances that I went to. I'd never wore one because I'm just way too, I don't know what, prudish for that. But she looked great. But yeah, it's a very certain period of time. That
it really is. Yeah. And then also the length of this movie, I thought at several times we were 20 minutes from the end. But it's like 2 hours. It's kind of long.
That's the problem with all these storylines. It's like when one wraps up, you got seven others. Like Josh Duhamel and Sarah Jessica Parker, who are quote unquote love interests in this movie, don't meet up till the last 30 seconds. And you spend the whole time trailing the both of them. But I digress. Let's do some MVPs. Kate, who is your pick for MVP of New Year's Eve?
My MVP is Hector Elizondo, because he was also my MVP of Valentine's Day. He has a very minor role in this movie. He fixes the Times Square ball. He's like a contractor electrician who like is spurned and then comes back at the right moment. And he has an accent. He's like doing a Russian accent for some reason, which is not his accent. And I was just like, I fucking love you. And I'm so glad you're here.
Completely agreed. Such a great guy to watch on screen.
So good. Honestly, my favorite role of his is The Princess Diaries.
Yep.
We actually was looking at some trivia.
Pretty Woman.
And Pretty Woman.
Oh,
there's,
right.
There's a lot of trivia and like a lot of nods to The Princess Diaries.
Really?
In New Year's Eve. Yeah. Really? And it's all like in the IMDb like trivia page. But there's a lot of like lines that they kind of put in like in his scenes that are from The Princess Diaries.
Huh. I love that.
Oh. All right. Amelia, who's your MVP?
I just, you know, I feel like this type of movie, this ensemble movie, where they get like big names like Robert De Niro and Halle Berry and stuff, but they have it, it's really held together, I guess, by all of the TV actors trying to transition over to movies. You know, it's like, you got to do what you got to do. And they are working it. And God bless them, because they are the heart and soul of this movie, of all these movies.
So true, Amelia.
You know?
That's a fantastic point. Also, want to give a quick shout out to my MVP, Seth Meyers, who is in this movie quite charming and like really good on screen. And I'm sad that he didn't have a longer film career, because he's good. They should have cast him in similar roles, I feel like. And last MVP for me is the New Year's spirit. There's just, it's like, I feel like all of us have been such Grinches this entire year, but there's something about turning over a new leaf, and it just gets you every time, you know?
True.
You hope things will be better. All right, let's do our lightning round. What cast member belonged in this movie the most, Kate?
I have Zac Efron, just because he lives in cringe mode now. He has absolutely the most reps of any other actor. I did not know he was in this movie when we picked this movie. He popped up and I was like, of course you're here.
Oh, that's really funny. I chose Jessica Biel because I also like can't really place her in any at the forefront of any movie, but I was like, oh, sure, you're here. Great. Like, I'll watch you.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, her character's pretty enjoyable, you know? Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
What about you, Amelia?
I think, again, like I said, this movie is really actually buoyed by like two types of actors. It's the TV transitioning to movie actors, and then the actors who are really skilled actors and they're big names in that they've won like impressive awards, but you know, they're kind of past their prime, which is not their fault. Like Hilary Swank, she's a 2-time Oscar winner, but she is just like forever on the B+ list. So
very true. You
know, at best.
At best. God bless her. Yeah.
All right. In your guys' opinion, what cast member belonged in this movie the least? Kate.
I just felt bad for Michelle Pfeiffer. I was like, you are an incredible diva actress and you're in this movie styled like a homeless person romancing Zac Efron and talking to Mr. Snugglepuss. Yeah, really tough. I was like, you're better than this.
She is. And what's weird to me is that she is married to David E. Kelly. So you would think that she would be in like Big Little Lies. You'd think she would be in Big Sky or something, but she just chooses not to, which, okay, fine. Mm-hmm.
Sure. I felt similarly about Halle Berry. I was like, she's kind of like a throwaway nurse character. She does help Robert De Niro, has a soft spot for him. But I was like, what the hell is going on? But I looked it up. Apparently, she was supposed to be Katherine Heigl's role originally. And this is when she was going through her divorce. So she had to drop out. And then she like ended up recast as this like very small role. So it wasn't as big of a commitment. But it felt odd to have her be such a small part of the movie because she is so amazing. I was like, you are such a fantastic actress. You should be like the head of all of this.
Right.
But that, and then John Bon Jovi. I just can't, he shouldn't be in a movie. He should be on the stage. And it just took me out of it every time.
Also, can I just mention, John Bon Jovi plays a rock star named Jensen. I'm like, just be Bon Jovi. Like, he doesn't need to play someone else. He already is a rock star.
Very true.
Oh my God. Also, I think you could have interchanged him with like Harry Connick Jr.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm
any kind of aging crooner.
Sure. Yes.
I feel like Pierce Brosnan also belonged in this movie somewhere. I don't know where. I guess that's the next round.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. Amelia, what cast member belonged in this movie the least to you?
You know, At first I was shocked to see John Lithgow, but then I was like, you know what? No, I'm not shocked. This is not above him. And I don't mean that in a mean way. It's just like he was on Third Rock from the Sun for a long time. He is putting in his reps anywhere he can, you know, get it. And honestly, he is, I would say months away from getting a podcast on Spotify. Like that's another prediction that I have. He's going to join the podcast family.
Love it.
Okay. Next is cast someone who should be in this movie.
You know that Justin Timberlake begged Jessica Biel to be in this movie. He was like, please, 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 please. And she was like, no, let me have something.
He could have been the Seth Meyers role. I think he would have fit in there.
Oh, nice one. Yeah, you're right. He absolutely could have
been,
slotted in.
Could have been the beginning of their love. I think Jennifer Garner should have made the jump with the rest of the Valentine's Day cast. There were a ton of people from Valentine's Day in this. Jessica Biel was in it. Ashton Kutcher was in it as well.
Yes.
And I was just like, Jennifer Garner, why aren't you also here? You know, it just felt like she should be.
Yeah. Also felt like Reese Witherspoon should be in there as like a high, strong kind of PR rep for the ball drop. And she ends up falling for Hector Elizondo or someone like unexpectedly. It feels like she's ripe for a role.
Yeah. Like she owns her own like PR company called like Speedy Girl or something.
And
you
she's like tiptoeing around on her heels and she's like, it's 4 minutes away until the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Right. With her little coat, her pea coat. And totally. It's long. Yeah. Totally. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Who would you guys rather get stuck in an elevator with? You got Lea Michele or Ashton Kutcher? Kate. God.
Ashton Kutcher in this movie is just like a huge asshole who looks like he smells bad. So I was just going to go. I was going to go with Lea Michele, but then Lea Michele started singing in the elevator and I had to switch to Ashton. So tough choice.
I think a solo concert. I hate when people sing at me, especially.
Oh,
alone.
Absolutely. Awful.
I would rather choose a moody, annoying ass cartoonist. I feel like.
Yes.
Too. And also, you know, Ashton, I feel like in real life, he's trying to do some good. So I appreciate that.
Oh, sure.
And did anyone else think on this similar note, Lea Michele, when he was like, hey, you know, you're a groupie. And he was kind of like reading her and she was like, oh, let me give it a shot. I thought the music was going to change for a second and that there was going to be like a spotlight dropped on her and that she was going to start breaking out into song, but it didn't happen. So
anything is possible in a Lea Michele role.
Right? Like exactly.
Totally. Okay. And then lastly, you have to cut one storyline out of the movie. What are you picking, Kate?
Gotta be De Niro. I just did not need that depressing, melancholy vibe in my Happy New Year's movie. I just and like De Niro, like Robert De Niro doesn't need this movie. You know, Hilary Swank needs this movie, but Robert De Niro does not.
Yeah. So true. I chose Josh Duhamel and Sarah Jessica Parker because they only met up in the final seconds. You had no time to connect the two of them as like people. And when they actually got together, you're like, no, that does, it's too big of a stretch. I don't know. I would kind of axe that whole thing. He's like on a RV the whole
movie. Yeah, I didn't need him at all. He's like totally separate from everyone else for the rest of the movie. And I'm like, why are we with you? Who cares about Josh Duhamel?
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. That's a wrap. Happy New Year to everyone who listens to Tea Time and no one else. Thank you guys so much for listening. It'll be a great new year for Tea Time. We've got a lot of exciting stuff in the works. Thank you, Kaya, our producer, for always editing us to sound all right.
Yes.
I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedmeyer.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.